Welcome to episode 10 of the Asia Business Investor Podcast. Today we're off to Singapore to talk to Ilka Gobius, who is the founder of Verve, which is a leading public relations and event company in Singapore, where we talk about entrepreneurship and setting and running a business on the island state of Singapore. So hello Ilka, thanks for joining us on the Asia Business Investor Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Could you start by telling us a bit about your agency, Verve?
Sure. Verve is a public relations consultancy. And basically, our core competency is messaging. That is, that we build messages about our clients' brands, products, and services, and we make sure those messages are placed in places where their target market can receive them and without too much interference. And what I mean by interference is that, you know, we try to get a direct message across as much as possible. And for that reason, we tend to do a lot in online and digital PR.
Okay. So you're in Singapore. So how did you start your agency in Singapore? Can you tell us about that?
Well, I was already living here because of a... I came here with a corporate job. And, you know, in 2002, things went a bit topsy-turvy. And so I decided that, and I had an opportunity to take over a marketing consultancy from somebody else. So I did that for a couple of years. And then I ended up starting my own agency in the middle of 2004. And a lot of the reason for that was that we had an anchor client who was in the travel industry, and we organized a lot of conferences and forums for them and also did some PR work for them. And that really allowed us to get started with our own agency. So that's how it all began.
Well, that's great. So what types of services does Verve provide? What type of things do you provide?
Well, these days we pretty much offer a full service for public relations consultancy, and what I mean by that is we do the strategy for public relations. Although with a lot of organizations, unless they're sort of startup or medium, they don't really require the strategic planning, but others do. So, I mean, some do, so we offer that. Then we've become quite expert at digital public relations and getting media releases published through online media, getting to the top of search engines and generating publicity, doing social networking through Facebook, through MySpace, through LinkedIn, Plaxo, and things like that, so that we're basically building communities of people for our clients in order to get their key messages across.
Okay. Do you have some stories you can share with the listeners about the types of things that you do in Singapore with your agency?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, we do traditional PR as well, which is working with publications and things like that. So we worked with a client last year who is a small consultancy from New York who wanted to move into Singapore, and they were called Fortune Cookie Projects, and they brought the first so-called A-class art exhibition to Singapore called Showcase Singapore. Okay. That happened in September last year, and they brought out artists like Vincent van Gogh, Picasso, Paul Klee, you know, Andy Warhol, and, you know, numerous other artists who have become extremely well known, very much in the A bracket of the market. And they brought those artists' works to Singapore for the Asian market to peruse and buy. And so we worked a lot with published media, especially the local and regional newspapers, to one, position the Fortune Cookies Project consultancy, and secondly, to publicize the exhibition Showcase Singapore. So that was quite successful. We got three key publications in the Business Times, the Straits Times in Singapore, as well as in the regional edition of the International Herald Tribune, which really well positioned the show to the buyers, you know, who are typically billionaires and millionaires who want all that right. kind of work. Yeah. So that ended up being quite a successful show for them, and I think at least three or four of their stalls completely sold out. About 20 of the 23 all said that they would return this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in essence, it was a very good show.
Awesome. Like an art show.
It was an art exhibition. Yeah. Well, it was a showcase. They actually sold art at it. Yeah. So I think they transacted something like $75 million for the show, something like that.
That's a lot of art, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Or maybe a couple of pieces.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot from doing that. But that was a small client. That was kind of a project base. We work with other clients on a retainer basis. And so one sort of exciting space that we're working in at the moment is the nightclub entertainment space with a pub here called Howl at the Moon Singapore. Mm-hmm. And it's a dueling piano bar where two pianists go head to head to outdo each other to play song requests from the audience. So we've had to educate the audience to do that, because in Singapore that's not typical. You also have to bribe the players with money and tips and things like that. That's also not the culture here. So we've really had to do a lot of education where that's concerned. But people do get very excited about it and do it. So Howl at the Moon have also started doing like trivia nights, stand-up comedy and other alternative comedy acts through the month. And what our role is we work with them exclusively through online mediums to build their Facebook group, for example, and and to generate more people who are interested in their activities through Facebook. So we publicize events through, you know, we try and create viral marketing campaigns through Facebook. We also do a lot of electronic direct mail for them, so that every week we're sending out probably about anywhere between 16 and 30,000 EDMs and flyers to their database. And we do that like text-based as a letter, or we do it as a newsletter, and then we also do it as an advertisement flyer. Mm-hmm. And so we've built up a database for them now of over 16,000 subscribers who get that kind of information.
Okay.
And in Facebook, the group's grown from about 300 or 400 in November last year to over 1,800 members now in mid-April. So, yeah.
So, setting up yourself and your business in Singapore, what do you think are the five most important things that you've actually learned from running your business in Singapore?
Well, be prepared to focus.
Okay.
Because the more narrow your approach, the better success you'll have, I've found. Clients really want to box you. They want to box you as a PR consultant. They want to box you as an event manager. They want to box you as this, that. So if you're too broad in the scope of work that you offer them, then typically they won't want to work with you. But conversely, once you get in there and acquire one part of the project, they get faith in you and give you more and more and more of the marketing mix, for example. So, you know, you just have to know that when you go and sell and pitch, you have to be extremely focused in your pitch.
Swell.
Yeah, something else I've learned really too is that you have to be honest in your marketing approach. There's just no room in the digital world anymore for misconceptions, because people will trip you up so easily, it's not funny. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, there's a blog that I love to read. It's called Seth's Blog, and it always talks about being honest and not skirting around the issues. So, you know, that's something I've learned. I guess something else I've learned too is that cash is king. retainers are best, and, you know, projects bringing in the cream on the top. So really, like, retainers is like a salary. And I was told very early on, but really didn't believe until it really became true, and that is that if you're going to hire somebody, you really need about 80,000 to 100,000 Singapore dollars of income to cover that person's costs. And that sounds like an awful lot of money, but really at the end of the day, what you pay them, what they generate and the cost that they generate, and for you to make money, you really need to be earning that kind of income per employee. And I think you said five, so the last two would really be prepared to evolve, constantly tweak your business proposition, and be nimble, never say no, and just say, how can I get it done, and you'll succeed.
Okay.
So
How would you characterize the business opportunities in Singapore today for entrepreneurs?
well, I think that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in Singapore, and that it just grows and grows and grows. Big businesses here are used to working with small suppliers. They don't care if you're a one-man band or a 10-man band or whatever. They care more about how you collaborate and how you can get the job done and who you can work with to achieve what they need. So as long as you understand inherently what they're after, you can usually deliver.
Okay. Is there any, are there any particular advantages, do you think, for being an entrepreneur in Singapore itself?
Absolutely. It's really easy to set up a business here. It's cheap to do it, ridiculously cheap. And then, furthermore, as long as you have a degree from a recognized university, it's really difficult not to get an employment pass here, or you can even get a 5-year entrepreneur pass to start up your own business here. And that gives you plenty of time. All you really need is a good, strong business plan and to prove that you're going to pay tax and that hopefully you're going to hire some local people and they'll let you in and do what you want. I think people here have quite a thirst for learning from foreigners, and they do think out of the box, but they also don't like to take responsibility. So if you can take it for them, they love you for it.
Yeah. What do you think is the impact of the current economic situation? Is it impacting on business in Singapore a lot?
I do think that it has had an impact. I don't think that it has particularly slowed business or its opportunities down. It's more that people have drastically cut budgets and expenses, and they're trying to do the same thing that they were before, but with less resources. So, for example, entrepreneurs are working from home rather than offices, and they're not even putting up the pretense of having a serviced office anymore, or an address in a prestigious location and then working from home like they used to do, because I think socially it's quite acceptable to be working from home now.
Ah, that's
And I
interesting.
guess that really relates to what I meant about being nimble as well.
Nimble is a very important term. What do you think the best piece of advice you could give someone looking at setting up a business in Singapore?
Well, I mean, the best piece of advice, I mean, I could give you a lot of advice, but I think my key observation really is that Singapore looks Western on the surface and is quite deceptively Western, but is very much Asian underneath. And what I mean by that is you really have to network your way and build relationships in order to succeed in business here. There aren't nearly as many gatekeepers as they are, say, in Australia. But on the other hand, it is possible to pick up the phone and talk to the CEO's secretary in a matter of minutes, and probably the CEO himself. But to actually get the CEO to work with you and to pay you is another matter entirely. And often that depends on who you know, who they know, and who you've got in common, and things like that, who's recommending you.
Okay. Finally, so our listeners can learn more about your firm, can you provide some links to your company?
Sure. They can visit verve.com.sg and you'll find quite a lot of information about us there. And you can follow me on Twitter through Ilka Gobius. That's ILLKAGOBIUS. Or you can reach me on Skype at the same word as well as one word. So, yeah, and those contact details are on verve.com.sg as well. So
I'll put them in the podcast notes for everyone. Well, thanks for your time, Ilka.
fantastic. You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody. That was episode 10 with Ilka Gobius. We look forward to bringing some more interviews with entrepreneurs in Asia and the Middle East in the next few weeks. Stay tuned and thanks for your time. Don't forget to visit our website at www.asiabusinessinvestor.com. You can have a look at some of the various business opportunities in Asia today. And we do look forward to bringing you some more interviews that we do have with entrepreneurs in Asia over the next few weeks. Thanks very much.